So congratulations.
Thank you.
So how did this come about?
So I've been training for the last 7 years and run a boot camp locally in Purford, and I've been doing that for 7 years. And then I got asked to do an interview for the magazine Fit and Well, and it was all about how I became a fitness instructor and how, you know, I got involved and what I do. And that was through one of my clients. Her husband was the marketing director of the magazine, so he said, I need some content, can Em write something for me? And then when we went into lockdown, they contacted me and said, you know, will you do some live workouts? Because they'd seen me on my Facebook page, because when we went into the lockdown, I had, you know, very loyal, committed client base that would come to boot camp with me 6 times a week. They all suddenly panicked and go, shit, what are we going to do now? We're going to stuck in and we want to exercise. So I did all my lives on my Facebook page because that was my community and the demographics, and that's what I used. And I wasn't really an Insta buddy at all. You know, I was kind of quite new to Insta. Anyway, they said to me, we want you to do some Insta lives for us. And obviously that is a global channel, and it's a totally different experience. And suddenly I'm training these people that I've never met before virtually all over the world. And then it just progressed, and they kept saying, we had really great traction, can you do another one? So I basically got a regular spot at least once a week on Fit and Well's Instagram live. And then all these other fitness instructors would come in and do some. So you'd have people doing Pilates or loads of different types. And it just progressed. And then I didn't think anything else of it. And it's all free. And the world of fitness, I think, was the only industry that went free in lockdown. And so it was so tough. You know, you spent years building up a business. You don't become a fitness instructor to become a millionaire, let's be brutally honest. You know, you do it for the passion, and you do it to meet people, and you want to talk to people, and you want to change people's lives. But fitness did go free, and, you know, and it sounds awful, but unfortunately, because Joe Wicks launched free PE, free everything, where people were used to paying for apps, the likes of me had to follow suit to keep your profile up. So those workouts were free, so I didn't get paid from the magazine or anything to do it. It's just about profile. And then I sort of did some interview stuff, and then I got asked to film for an app, a new fitness app that's coming out later on in the year. And I suddenly found myself in this really bizarre place where actually lockdown delivered me an alternative way to training, and no one would ever have thought that they could adapt from coming to a boot camp physically and me kind of encouraging them or shouting at them and them swearing at me and sweating at me and all that, to doing it through a screen. And I just loved it. I had so much fun with it. But it also, people forget that as much as they were getting out of it, for me during that period of time, it brought me through lockdown because I had accountability. I had a routine. I knew I was booked to do a virtual at 9 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening. And it gave me a purpose. And I think that's why I loved it so much. So my passion kind of came through even more. Does that make sense?
Did you find that people suddenly wanted to get fit, or was it the opposite? People just decided, oh, I'm not going to be seen for a few months, so I just won't bother.
I think there was two ways to it, actually. I think a lot of people were desperate to get fitter and then suddenly adapted to virtual because they never thought they could, but they also had no other alternatives. But then what happened, which is brilliant, there are so many people that are much fitter than that they were before they went into lockdown, because suddenly it was accessible to them. And, you know, to be able to just log on and do a live, and if it wasn't, you couldn't make the live, you'd go back and do a catch up. You know, my clients who maybe would have only trained with me twice a week at boot camp were all of a sudden training 5-6 days a week. So they became fitter. There were some other people that literally were on a roller coaster. You know, you talk about do it for a week and then think sod it and fall off and sit and eat chips and drink lots of wine like most of us did anyway. And some people that just couldn't adapt to virtual, they found it really difficult to log into a screen and do it and be motivated. And I think the truth is, I don't think people work as hard when they're at home and they haven't got an instructor with them. And I'd get all the kids involved in the family, and it was hilarious because all of a sudden I had all these kids saying, messaging me saying, I'm not doing Joe Wicks PE, I'm doing Emma's one with Mum this morning. So they were all using it as, you know, a family thing, and the dads getting involved, and just kind of grew, and it was great.
I'm preempting that you're going to say that getting back to face-to-face training is better, but I'm guessing virtual training also does have its benefits.
Hugely, yeah. So even though I'm allowed back out and I'm back at training at the club, I'm actually now running a blended program where I've kept a closed virtual group because I suddenly developed a different audience, you know, people that would never be able to train with me locally because they don't live near me. And people that are suddenly working out, actually I am working out more because I'm doing more fitness and I'm doing more exercise because I'm doing 30-minute sessions 4 or 5 times a week, and these guys would never have done that before. So definitely there are 2 camps now. Now, some of the guys that live locally to me still do my virtual stuff and come to boot camp, and the other guys don't want me to stop the virtual. You know, it was weird when we were starting to come out of lockdown. They were like, Em, you are still going to do virtuals for us, aren't you? And I was like, well, do you want that? And they were like, absolutely. And so I've just created 2 platforms now, one which is a closed Facebook group, which is kind of like a membership. And they run, I run the virtuals on there as well as a kind of a food program and a nutrition program. So I've had some incredible stories of people that have lost, you know, their lockdown pounds by following my food program as well as doing more exercise. And then I've got some that just said, I'm so glad you're back at the club, so I'm just going to do the club sessions. So I'm just trying to keep 2 camps happy now, which is a little bit challenging.
I guess personal trainers can do both. I mean, with gyms, yeah, they've really suffered, haven't they? Because people have realised you don't need to be paying these expensive fees in order to stay fit and healthy.
Oh my gosh. For all the gyms out there, I don't know what's going to happen. And it's really sad, you know, and I've got friends in the industry who've had to shut studios, you know, like yoga instructors that were, had their own studio space because people just aren't coming back in or they couldn't afford to keep it going. And the gym mentality, you know, I had some girls that were proper gym bunnies that never came to boot camp because they were like, oh no, I need to go to spin, I want to do body pump, I want to do this, whereas they haven't rejoined their gym memberships. They're saying, actually, I'm going to do your virtuals, you know, for them. And also cost, because I do charge for my closed Facebook group because I had to turn it into a business model. But it's so cheap in comparison to what they were used to paying a gym membership. It's that industry is damaged. And I honestly, I don't know how they're going to cope. I mean, the gyms were massively oversubscribed at the beginning. So maybe their business model has carried them through and now they're at a stage where they had enough money in the bank to survive. But I can't see the growth anymore, and it's sad, you know. It's you know, everybody in lockdown has suffered some way, but I do think the fitness industry has progressed in a massive way. But also, God knows what's going to happen to gyms.
Do you think fitness and working out can become an addiction?
I often talk about addiction to exercise. You know, I think I was massively addicted to it, and I am addicted to it, but I'm in control of it now. But I definitely went through a zone where if I didn't exercise every day, my moods were going all over the place. It's definitely one of the better addictions to have, because actually what happens is the reason you get addicted to it isn't about the what your body shape is, unless you're we're not elite athletes. Let's be clear here. We're not training for a specific sort of purpose, but you get addicted to the buzz that it gives you mentally. And I think, you know, the word mental health is bashed everywhere now. But from the benefits you get from physical exercise, and it releases the awesome endorphins that come through into your body, that's the bit that people get addicted to, that know that if they can't exercise, they feel more stressed because they're not releasing any of that anger. And a lot of the people that were working, obviously, from home during lockdown and increasing their workload from working from home, because all of a sudden the demands were a lot more of these people, because you had access to your emails 24 hours a day. I had significant number of clients that were messaging me saying, "Em, I'm screwed because I can't find the time. What do I do?" And I'm like, "There's 30 minutes." And then they'd go, now that they're addicted to, they get up, they do their 30 minutes so they know they can get their work done. And then they might do something else in their lunch break and then go out for a walk just to get through the stress of lockdown. But yeah, so it is addictive. It's not like dealing with an addiction from an eating disorder, as it's going to properly damage your body. But I'm a massive advocate for training different ways throughout the week. So, you know, you have a runner that will just only run. I personally don't believe in that because the damage that does on your body. I try and encourage everybody to say, you need to lift weights, you need to do HIIT, you need to do stretches, you need to be flexible. And if you change your routines throughout the week, then the addiction is there, but you're not over exerting your body in one specific area all the time.
You had started something, is it the Surrey Hub, the charity organization?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Through Instagram, I'd connected with another fitness instructor who was doing very similar stuff to me in London. And, you know, you just suddenly find the same energy with somebody and you kind of get in contact. She created this concept in December last year where she was clearing out all of her leggings and stuff and went, this is bloody ridiculous. You know, I've got so much active wear. It is, you know, it's nuts. And she said, well, I can't take it to the charity shop. But what her specific thing was, she works in, you know, quite demographically poor areas in London and offers free fitness to the communities of Battersea, Wandsworth, and is kind of sponsored by the local councils. So she said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to package my stuff up, contact my clients, know people that haven't got anything, and I'm going to give them my leggings so that they can come back to boot camp or they can go out and walk or they can put some trainers on. And so she did this and posted it on the gram. And you know what? It just went nuts. And everybody went, oh, my God, that's such an amazing idea. You know, we're talking about well-being, mental well-being. But actually, we live in a Surrey bubble where we all are very blessed and we have a lot. And there are a lot of people that don't have anything and they'd love to exercise. But guess what? They haven't even got a pair of trainers that they could go out for a walk in, or they feel kind of, you know, very body conscious because they haven't got a pair of leggings. You know, some of her girls were turning up to their sessions in jeans because they didn't have anything else. And so I said to her, right, I've got a load of gear. I can get my guys to donate all of their stuff. I'll bring it up to London. So as soon as I was allowed to get in the car and drive up there, I delivered something like 10 boxes of donations from all of my guys of all their fitness apparel. And she was living, and she still is living, in a two-bedroomed flat on the 7th floor in Battersea with her two kids, single mum. And her lounge was then just full of all these donations. And all of a sudden, Nike are sending her brand new X gear that they've never sold. And it's just got massive. So when I got up there, I said, well, what the bloody hell are you going to do with it? How are you going to give it to the people that need it? And she said, she's got people emailing her from Scotland saying, do you have size pair 8 trainers for my daughter? Because she can't go out and do this. And so I chatted to her and said, like, you need a business plan here because this is getting out of control. And she said to me, actually, can you help me? And I was like, yeah, ooh, here we go. I'm going to take on something else now. She said, will you set up Surrey for me? She said, I really want this to go national. And I said, yeah, absolutely. I said, but I can't hold the staff. I don't know who to get it out to. So I then went on and looked for Surrey charities that I could say, well, if I can get you the gear, have you got women, kids, children, men that could do with it? And very quickly, I was speaking to people that were in women's refuges and all that kind of stuff. And they said, absolutely, Emma. And then will you come in and do fitness sessions with these people in the safe houses? And I was like, yeah, I'll do anything. And then I stumbled across, again, through the gram, the charity based in Woking, so literally round the corner from me, called The Lighthouse. And what the Lighthouse do is they take all the referrals from all the Surrey charities, so all the women's refuges, everybody that's kind of out of work, hasn't got anything, they run the food bank from there, and they do a whole program of rehabilitation from people that literally live on the streets to those that have maybe been made redundant. And I contacted them and said, you know, would you take all this gear? And they said, yeah, and we need to talk to you. So I went in, and now that's where I take all the stuff. So last week I donated something like 10 bags of more stuff that all my guys gave. We went in, and they've got an incredible section upstairs in Woking, which they call the Esteem section. And it was originally set up for people that had no money to buy a suit or something smart to go to an interview to try and get a job. And we've now created a fitness and well-being section up there of all this trainers, leggings, loungewear, sports bras that pretty much looks brand new. And that's how it's rolling. So I'm now knowing that the people that are going into this set are getting the stuff, because it's easy to get it. You know, people will donate. But how do you know it's going to the people that actually need it? Yeah, so it's a really, and you know, and it's just going to grow. And now Decathlon have jumped on the bandwagon, because obviously the brands all want to be involved now, because it's all about sustainability and recycled fashion. And so Decathlon is now hosting a trial up in London at their flagship store, Surrey Quays, where people can actually take in their fitness apparel, donate it into a big box, and then that goes out to the end, you know, the people that need it. So Michelle, who's the woman who set it up initially, she's literally emptying her lounge as we speak and trying to get it shipped into Decathlon. But it's just gone crazy, because even over the last week, they've just announced that they're going to be doing a festival, a free festival at Battersea Power Station in August, that's a health and well-being and fitness festival. And you bring all your stuff to that, and there's swap shops going on. Mm. So it's, you know, from somebody's micro kind of little, oh God, I need to get rid of all my stuff.
That's just snowballed.